everybody. It's about time I came back live after many weeks of running reruns, and I apologize for that, but I have been globetrotting, as you all know, and it has been really hard to get myself behind the mic and come live to you. So this is, let's say, after weeks, this is my first live show, and I'm bringing you a wild and crazy guy, and that doesn't mean to in any way diminish his wisdom and credibility, but he's my kind of person. He's on the edge talking about everything that I love to talk about and more when I'm in conspiracy mode, because when I'm in other places and I just don't want to go there sometimes, as another story. But today we're talking with Richard Sauder, PhD. Let me just tell you a little about this man. I first ran into his work when I read his book, Underground Bases and Tunnels, which blew me really off the map, and have since had him on the show before. He was the first person to systematically popularize the mysterious topic of underground and then underwater bases and tunnels by delving into the open literature of the government, the military, and industry paper trail. Richard describes himself as a native Virginian with an abiding interest in Fortiana, which, of course, is unusual information and anomalous paradigm-busting data of all varieties. And that's what we're going to do today on the show. Some of Richard's favorite research and reading interests are underground and underwater bases, which I want to talk about because I know he's got updates for us, electronic mind control, freedom technology, of course, ET and UFOs, human prehistory, remote antiquity, international politics, Kundalini energy, and alternative thought patterns. His website is www.keyholepublishing.com/Sauder.html, and I'm sure he'll give you more information how to reach him as we dive into the show. So without any further ado, and by the way, for those of you who do not enjoy talking about conspiracy, this may not be the show for you, although it's information we really need to dive into. Stay tuned as we bring in Richard Sauder. Hello, Richard.
Hi, how are you, Patricia?
I'm fine. Thanks for coming back on the show. It's great to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be here. I've, I think, moved to South America since the last time we spoke. I believe our last interview, I was still in the north, but I'm in South America now and very happy to be here.
Yeah, what are you doing there? Did you decide to evacuate the U.S.?
Well, I came to... came here on a vision quest in November of last year, and after I was here about 3 weeks and I was a few weeks into my vision quest, my vision quest told me, why go back? Why not remain on this continent? And so that's what I've done, and I intend to remain here. My vision quest is ongoing. For me, a vision quest is really an open-ended process. It's not a one-time thing, you know, one and done, so to speak. So I'm very open-minded about it, and I continue to have new realizations, new insights, and the whole pattern for me is telling me to remain where I am and not to return to the United States.
Yeah, well, I also left the United States, 28 years ago for reasons that we don't need to go into here, and neither do I intend to return. So it's wonderful that we have the international technology where we can still touch all of the people there without having to physically be there. But there's no question the United States is going through a major transformation, and hopefully it will be for the good once it goes through the crisis that it's going through now.
Well, it's all of it happens for universal reasons, if you will, or cosmic reasons. It's true what Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage and we're the players on it. So we all have a role to play, a part to play in what is happening. Some people have a comic role, some people have a tragic role, but we all play a part, and it all makes the show go on, so to speak. There is the possibility that a year or two from now we may not be able to do these interviews as easily as we do now, and maybe not at all, because the crisis that is coming is going to be so huge, so multifaceted, it's going to impact all of us in so many major ways that we may be knocked back to more or less a survival level, and doing these types of radio interviews may be way, way down on our list of priorities if there's even an international communications network that we can feasibly avail ourselves of.
Yeah, it does appear that every effort is being made to silence all alternative media and also to block us from traveling. That's coming too. So I'd like to get into that, your perceptions of when you say what you do, what do you really mean by what is coming? Let's talk about your insights and viewpoints on the transition that faces us. And we know, we agree we want to go to the high end or the upper experience of being able to talk about the dark, contrastive energies that we're facing, and always looking to how we are going to transmute that and come out on top, because if we don't believe that, we're cooked.
Well, and that's right. That's right. And in the near term, what's going to happen is we're going to have more earth changes, volcanoes, tsunamis, earthquakes, fires, droughts, floods. And you may be a very highly enlightened spiritual person, but if a tsunami wave washes over you, you're going to have to swim for your life just as much as a person of a very dark karmic orientation. So these earth changes are going to impact all of us. Your orientation in life will affect how you react to what happens. But whoever you are, you're going to be faced with a world with uncertain food supplies, with economic chaos, with warfare that's raging in more and more countries as the months and years go by, with earth changes, as I said, with political upheaval, with astronomical solar events. The sun put out a huge solar flare 3 or 4 days ago. There will be more of those, and maybe even larger. All of these things are going to be happening. They will impact all of us. Some of them, such as nuclear runaway nuclear reactors that are in meltdown mode, are an absolute danger to health and welfare. And so all of these things will be happening. It could be that the communications grid and the electrical grid could be taken down by cataclysmic earth changes. And, of course, as you alluded, there are very oppressive political forces in the world that want to restrict the free flow of information, and also want to really clamp down on free travel. They want to clamp down the free movement of human beings around the world from country to country and even within nation states. So all of those are going to be factors. And then another factor is going to be how humanity reacts to this on a social level and on a spiritual level. And there will be as many different reactions if there are human beings. In general, the large cities will probably not be pleasant places to live in the coming months and years.
Yeah, I would interject that that is already a reality, and that my personal advice to people is to start contemplating, or if not racing out of the cities, definitely contemplating alternative lifestyles to the super urban areas. Because unquestionably, this is becoming a really difficult place to get through what lies ahead.
What's going to happen when in the just-in-time delivery system that we have known in the post-World War II period breaks down? It means that when the trains stop running, or at least they stop running regularly, when the trucks, over-the-road trucks that carry freight from city to city stop running, or at least regularly, when the barges, the freight barges stop running, when the freighters stop running on open sea from country to country carrying finished goods and also raw products and raw materials, when all of that is disrupted, that has immediate implications for production and delivery of food, for example, pursue the markets and other kinds of markets. And people who don't have food become very desperate and become very, very, very violent. You will probably see food riots in the not-too-distant future. In fact, food riots have already occurred over the past year in many countries. And this will become more and more common. They will be especially pronounced in large cities because large cities do not produce agricultural products. They consume them.
Right, and yet we continue to dump produce and agriculture to keep the prices up.
Yes, yeah.
So it's not really a matter of the earth not being able to produce enough food. It's just that the commerce of it all insists that we keep the prices up, we keep this false economy going, and the people that are rioting for food really could have food.
In theory, yes. In practice, no. In practice, no, they can't have food if, for example, food costs $10 a day and they only earn $5 a day. Then, no, they can't have food. And in practice, yes, there's food and there's still crops and fields, but because of the way the distribution of it is organized, or rather not organized, the way that the economic system is set up, means that when problems occur, distribution and supply of food to people that need it, when they need it, becomes problematic. That's one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is that over the last couple of years, there have been droughts and or floods in agricultural production regions all over the world. So it's either been too cold or too hot, too wet or too dry, which means that there has been an impact on production of foodstuffs globally over the last couple of years. And this has also played a role. So on the one hand, you have increasing prices of food and falling wages of people who are working. And at the same time, you also have a problem with actual real food supply due to weather problems that are impacting agricultural production in countries all over the world. So these two things are happening more or less simultaneously, and the net effect is that there will be a problem with food availability, and even when it's available, the price is going to be higher, perhaps a great deal higher, making it more difficult for those who have money to purchase it. In some cases, they may have money, but not enough money to feed themselves and their family. So, Patricia, hard times are coming, and they will be here soon.
And yet, yeah, I agree with you. And yet, we are hearing about small farmers who are being arrested because they're selling food to the locals, and they don't have the $5 million or whatever it costs permit that the government now requires to distribute food or to sell food, right? So it's very clear that there's a deliberate intention here to squeeze people, to squeeze the food supply, for what end we can go into as we discuss through this hour.
Oh, yes, that is intentional. There are some very dark forces that are acting in the government and bureaucratic agencies, sometimes multilateral agencies established by European Union, for example, and on other levels, such as the World Trade Organization, and a number of these large multilateral, multinational organizations. And they absolutely have a very dark agenda. I would go further and say they are diabolical. They are satanic. They are psychopathic. They do mean people great harm. And sad to say, they're here on the planet with us. They're very active at this point in history, at this point in time. They do have power under this system. They are part of the governing power structure for the matrix that has the world in its iron grip. And the only way out of this is for us to become a great deal more savage, a great deal more street smart. I've talked in my recent writings over the last year, year and a half, and articles, books, and interviews about a need for a global uprising, not uprising, because uprising is so often violent, but an uprising with a W, And indeed, we see that happening in a number of countries. People are displaying a great deal of wisdom, especially in the Arab world, but not only there. And they are up-wising, so to speak, and speaking out, standing up, coming out of their houses, and in many cases very peacefully speaking out against these evil political and economic structures that have been set up to govern human beings in our time. The governments have been, in many cases, lashing out with lethal violence, with the police, with the army, shooting people, gunning people down right in the street.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say other than we live in a dark time, and this darkness is there. It's fine to have a positive orientation. In fact, that's great. At the same time, it's necessary to acknowledge that there are these vile, evil, violent, murderous forces at large in the world. They are dangerous, and they are there. We have to deal with that.
Right. Our assignment as light workers on planet Earth is how to not only protect ourselves from this force and rise above it, but to shine that light into that dark mass and help the planet get through it. And we will. As dark as it seems.
Yes, but understanding that the mere fact of shining that light causes these dark powers to lash out violently. They don't like the light.
They certainly don't. Well, even in heaven, they don't sing all the time, is my theory.
Yeah, they try to kill it. And unfortunately, if they're able, they do kill a lot of people. They've been at it for thousands of years, and they won't stop easily. So we have our task cut out for us.
Yeah, we do. Richard, I want to talk about your latest information, your wonderful book, which really impacted me so many years ago about underground bases and tunnels. And what has come in the light of the fact that we have this radioactive meltdown in Japan. I'm in the Azores at the moment with a group of seekers. We were actively discussing the relationship between the underground communities that they will put them in parenthesis, that they have for themselves, and just what is going down with this radioactive meltdown, which many of us believe is intentional. We know that HAARP or some force was heating up the atmosphere over Japan before this happened. And I'd love to hear your insights about what's really coming down on that. And is it true that the rumor is that they are preparing to go underground? Can you give us some insights?
Yeah. I have an article about what happened at Fukushima on my blog site, which is at eventhorizonchronicle.blogspot.com. That's eventhorizonchronicle.blogspot.com. And I have an article there entitled Fukushima. In other words, fuck you, Shima. I don't believe this is accidental whatsoever. And I say that forthrightly in that blog piece. Whoever or whatever is behind this has a really dark, evil orientation. They mean to do this planet, the human race, and other biological life forms on this planet great harm. And fuck you, Shima is one of their latest actions. It may not be the last, but it is one of the most recent. The so-called accidental blowout of the Deepwater Horizon oil drilling rig in the Gulf of Mexico last spring was also another one of these so-called accidental actions by industry, which was not really an accident. These are planetary kill shots. And by targeting Japan and the North Pacific, and by targeting the Gulf of Mexico, these are incredibly important ecosystems, not only for humans, but for many other life forms on this planet. So these are planetary kill shots, and we have to be clear about what we're facing. Real naked evil has been unleashed on this planet, and it is running amok. It means to kill us, Patricia. It means to do us in, and we need to be real clear on that. And in my Fukushima article, I talk about that, and I also bring in an aspect of my my vision quest that I've been involved in since I have arrived in South America, and that is drinking the ayahuasca brew, which I have now done 10 or 11 times. And ayahuasca has given me a great deal of insight. Essentially, it showed me that the planet is being ravaged by a machine. It's a machine intelligence. It's a machine. It's an artificial intelligence. However, it understands humans very well. It understands how to manipulate people. It uses humans. There are many humans that work for it, both wittingly, voluntarily, and also unwittingly, without their knowledge, but nonetheless, doing the machine's bidding. And many, many people are working for the machine, whether they would be in military organizations, espionage organizations, Fortune 500 companies, institutional religions such as Judaism, Islam, Christianity, etc., working in some of the so-called Illuminati organizations like the Masonic Orders and so forth, and more and more. This is just to give you a little bit of an idea, but certainly Lehman Brothers, Goldman Sachs, the Pentagon, the CIA, just to name a few, the Mossad, and on, would be appendages, if you will, of this machine for vanquishing, thwarting, killing, strangling this planet and the human race. And you can see this agenda is well advanced. Now, the only way that I see out of this is for people to wise up. If we don't wise up, we're toast, Patricia, in my estimation. We have the capacity to do that. And I look around and I'm gratified to see that a growing number of people are wising up. I don't know if it's enough people fast enough. Realistically, what we're facing is huge. We have to get serious about this.
From wising up, which means becoming aware of the forces at work. A lot of people are, in fact, getting there, but there's that next step that's going to determine what happens next, which is, what do you do once you understand this? And this is where a lot of people are stuck. It's like, okay, great, I get it. How can I help?
I think we've already been given that roadmap. We had three great movements in the 20th century. Two of them are very well known. The third one is less well known, but we had the example of what Mahatma Gandhi did in South Asia and what is now India and Pakistan. With his nonviolent mass movement. We also saw what Dr. King and the Black Civil Rights Movement did in the United States in the 1950s and 1960s. And then we have the example of the White Rose Movement in World War II in Nazi Germany, where you had a group of university students and professors who together began anonymously resisting against the Third Reich and against the World War that the German Reich had unleashed. And so we have these three nonviolent examples from the 20th century. And the only possible way, the only possible antidote to this huge epidemic of machine violence that is afflicting this planet is for just as great a movement of creative nonviolence. If the problem is violence and all of it manifestations, and the only possible antidote is nonviolence. We have to turn away from violence. And that happens in as many different ways as there are people, but for sure it would mean if you're an American, for example, you would leave your employment in the Pentagon. You would not go to other countries and kill people. Period. You just would not. And, you know, the examples multiply from there. If you're a parent, you would discourage your children from going to other countries and killing people, period. It's just not done. We cannot have a civilized planet if we persist in killing each other. There is no possible solution for us unless we refrain from killing each other. So that's the essential first step. If we're not even willing to do that, nothing else that we say even matters.
Right. Well, if you consider the recent stampede that took place at Walgreens. They had a special offer for pre-Christmas or whatever on television sets at 50% discount. And when they opened the doors, they actually stampeded a man to death to get their piece of television in the hundreds. And so, as I was discussing with some friends yesterday, let it be that the product is not a discount on the TV, but a water, which is scarce, or food. And from what we see of the general population, people are willing to kill each other to have their hoard or their amount of food. So there is unquestionably, we've got to get out of the utopic mindset and start talking about reality of what is going to take place when this happens, and we know it's coming.
Going to be horrid.
And what are people to do? What are people to do to prepare for what's coming? First of all, I think it's important, as you and I have done, is to get out of the big cities.
Yes. Yeah.
Then?
You have to.
And then what are your recommendations?
Yeah. Well, personally, I have moved not only out of the big city, I left the United States, and I don't intend to return because the darkness is so great in that country. I perceive the karmic burden is very negative and very heavy in the United States. So I would say if people who aren't resonating with a place spiritually, remove yourself from that location physically if you're able, and relocate yourself to a place on the planet that you resonate with more at an essential life level, at the core level of your being. If you're able to do that, fine. If you're not, then you'll have to, so to speak, make a stand wherever you are.
And do you have any suggestions for how that's done? Because just yesterday I was speaking to someone who was asking me how to do that. We have interference. Is that on your end? You there, Richard? Hello? Okay, it looks like Richard's line has gone down. Richard? All right, hold on, everybody. We'll get Richard back on the line, and I'll expound on that thought. And that is, I'm here in the Azores with a group, I think I mentioned this already, of soul seekers who are journeying with me. And one delightful person told me she was considering leaving the U.S. and asked me how that could be done. So there are many ways that you can migrate out of the country you live in. One important aspect is that any country you decide to migrate to, before they issue you a visa, is going to want to know if you have enough money to sustain yourself economically, because they're not going to want you to leech off of their social systems or to take away work from a potential citizen. So if you are in that position where you've got some cash or some stash, or you're in retirement mode, this facilitates you being able to do that. So that's the one thing you need to know. And without wanting to be a scaremonger, I would really like you to consider that I agree with Richard. I think it's a great time to get out of the United States because it really does look like a very intense, overbearing situation in that country is imminent, very close now. And that if you can, like he said so eloquently, if you do not resonate to the place and feel like it's not your spiritual center, now is an excellent time to consider where you feel you would be most comfortable on this planet. For me, I live in Italy, and I am semi-moving to the Azores, which is hopefully going to be remote enough from the madness that I can quietly sit and gaze at the ocean and the beautiful hills and be one with the local farmers and just wait it all out, whatever craziness comes. I don't want to be in the middle of it. But we'll be talking about that more with Richard when he comes back on. He is in where? Bolivia or Argentina? I don't remember what he said. How are we doing, Don?
Yes, I'm back, yeah. Patricia.
Hi, Richard. Thank you. I'm glad we got you back on. So let's talk a little bit about...
I want to say that...
Yeah?
I was talking about water purification. Did you get that?
Nope, we missed that.
When did I cut out?
We got cut off when we were talking about you. You and I were both agreeing that it would be a good time to move out of the United States.
Yes. Well, I was talking, you asked me what should you do to prepare, and I was talking about what people could do to prepare, and someone or something pulled the plug on the conversation at that point.
Yes, interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's happened to me in other interviews. It shows how scared the powers that be are and to what extent the Matrix will go to prevent people from communicating what to do and how to prepare themselves for these times that we're entering in.
As in fact, let me just interrupt you before you continue and remind you that the last time you were on my show, the same thing happened. All right, let's go ahead and please give us your insights on water, which of course is the most important thing to store. And again, this is a conversation I've been having with some people here.
Filters. You should have water filters. I don't think you could have too many water filters and water purification devices and water purification tablets. You can go to sporting goods stores, to those types of places. There are survivalist types or emergency preparedness websites on the internet where you can get these types of things. Chlorine bleach. Pure chlorine bleach can purify water. You just put a few drops of water in bleach into a gallon of water, and it will purify it. This is just straight Clorox bleach without any scents or any other chemicals in it.
But people are scared of that. They think that it's very toxic to the body.
Well, it's even more toxic to drink water that's full of parasites. That'll kill you. But if you put a little bit of bleach in, you know, just 5 or 6 drops into a gallon of bleach, and then let it set a couple of days, you know, you do what you have to in an emergency situation. If you don't have pure water and you're drinking foul water, you're going to die of dysentery in 2 or 3 days.
What do you think of the news that they're now putting lithium into the water supply?
One more reason to get out of the big cities and also the municipal water supplies. I want to continue on this thread, though.
Yes.
People, if they live in a rural or semi-rural area, should plant a vegetable garden if they have not already. There are many places where you can go online or to any seed store or even to a lot of other stores and buy vegetable seeds. If you haven't planted a garden, do it now. If you haven't planted fruit trees, do it now. If you don't have a flock of chickens or ducks, get one now because they will give you eggs. If you're able to have a milk goat or a milk cow, that's wonderful. You can have fresh milk. You can make cheese. You can make yogurt, etc. You will need these things as the supply system breaks down. Also, barter items are very important. Things like toilet paper, bar soap for bathing. You would want rubbing alcohol for disinfecting wounds. You would want emergency medical kits, emergency medical supply kits, first aid kits. Things like flashlights and batteries for the flashlights. You would also want to stockpile all things like food that you could store for a period of months or half a year or a year. Dried lentil beans, for example, dried rice, vacuum-packed vegetables. There are a number of websites on the internet where you can buy these emergency foods, or you can even do your own canning if you're good with that. You have the equipment, can food, and store it now. Get ready because hard times are coming. And then you will also need emergency camp stoves because if the power goes off and the gas supplies fail, you will need to cook, you need to rough it. You might want to lay in a stock of firewood. These are all common sense things that you will want to do.
You hear that, Brandon? This is right up our conversation of 2 days ago. I know you're listening in. How imminent do you think this is, Richard?
Pardon me?
How imminent do you think it is that we will be in emergency survival mode?
Pretty soon. I would think by Christmas a lot of people will really be up against it, maybe already a lot of people are up against it. Millions of people have already lost their jobs and are losing their houses. And the word that I get just from reading the mainstream financial headlines in recent days and weeks, there are mainstream organizations and mainstream commentators warning about the danger of a dollar collapse, United States dollar collapse, of the United States government defaulting on its debt obligations, of the economy crashing and failing, of the stock market catastrophically plunging this summer. So we're talking potentially in the coming weeks even, but certainly at the far outside, 2 weeks, 2 years from now. But personally, I expect financial chaos to really kick in with a vengeance as we move deeper into the summer. And by Christmas time, I think the joint will be jumping, Patricia.
Well, that's pretty ominous. But I think what's important in this conversation is to focus on what people, the great information you just gave out, what people can do so that there is a preparation that is, let's say, not preparing for the all-out Armageddon scenario, but taking measures, like you said, grow a fruit tree now, plant your garden now, preparing yourself instead of always putting this aside as, yeah, it would be a bummer if it happened, and I'll worry about it later. But really, it is now time to consider.
Yes, and it's better to do it a little bit early than a little bit too late, because at the end of the day, a little bit too late is too late.
Now, that's right.
That said, there's another essential part of this. Know your neighbors. If you don't know your neighbors, you'd better get to know them, because when things start to unravel, you need to have a social network. You need to have people that you can depend on, that you can rely on, and they need to know that they can also rely on you. We're going back to a more primitive era. If the electricity goes off for a week or a month, what then? What do you do? Well, you may say, well, it's never gone off for a month before. But what if it does? What then?
It's so true. And another point about your neighbors is it's important to remember while you're hunkering down yourself and with your family that if your neighbors are in trouble, I personally think you've got to try the best you can to educate the people around you to what we're talking about so that they're not in trouble, so that they, let's say you do store up all this food and you are okay, how long before the people around you are going to start banging down your door just like they're stampeding people in the supermarkets and saying, I want what you've got. So, understanding.
What if they come with a pump shotgun?
Exactly.
What if they say, give me what you have?
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
If you can help your neighbors understand and prepare to grow community gardens, etc., even though your neighbors may say you're out of your mind, you can always use an approach like, wouldn't it be nice if we band together for, let's say, earthquake prevention or some other thing? Because not everybody wants to hear the New World Order conspiracy information that we are discussing. But you can help educate them so that in the middle of a crisis, instead of, like you said, shooting down your door, we can revert back to being one people assisting each other through crisis.
Well, and in fact, the only ones who survive will be the ones who cooperate. The ones who use the thug approach will ultimately not win out, because the thugs, at the end of the day, will attack each other as well. So that'll be a very dangerous lifestyle to take up. I would say that the other thing is, if you're able to band together with those of like minds and like vision while there's still time to identify them, and if you're able to relocate geographically if it's necessary or you think it's advisable, use that window, that narrowing window of opportunity now to do that. There's still a little time, but the time is rapidly dwindling away.
I agree with you, Richard. We're really kindred spirits. There's not a thing you've said that I haven't said myself or agreed with. and I try to stay in positive thought territory and at the same time be realistic about what's ahead of us. And that said, I would like to also ask you about a question that I'd love your opinion on, and that is, in discussing mind control and electronic mind control and the grid, as you have touched on in so much of your work, how is it you think that some people are not affected by these devices and some are? What do you suppose is going on?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think some people are just maybe predisposed because of their upbringing or their outlook on life or genetics or because the universe smiles favorably on them to be more resistant to that. I also think that a lot of people are what Gerald O'Donnell, for example, has called biological robots. They're like soft pieces of biological software that are being run by the matrix that's lording it over this planet. They don't really have a capability to, a lot of them may not have a soul, frankly, Patricia. They may be more or less biological automatons or robotoids in human form without much capacity for independent or autonomous reflection and action. And they may therefore be highly susceptible to being engineered and manipulated by the matrix and its programs, its many control programs, mind control, social control, economic control, political control, etc. What the stupid genetic controls that are on at the level of the DNA. So there may in reality be two or more types of so-called human beings on this planet having the appearance of being the same entities, i.e. human beings, but really being at a deeper level, quite different in their core essence. And that may be the answer to your question.
Yeah, and of course, no doubt that the less you plug into the system with all these gadgets and phones and iPhone and every other little bit, the better, right? I mean, that's kind of a foregone conclusion.
Yes, that's all part of the control system. I would say that in recent years and decades, some very interesting technology has come forward. It's really been around for over half a century, but it's only in the last, say, 30 years or so that it's become more publicly available, and now a lot of it can be downloaded off the internet for just $10 or $20. There's just a profusion of these websites, and I'm referring to it. If people want to get these CDs that entrain the brain into deeper meditative states of awareness and higher consciousness in the theta brainwave level and the delta brainwave level, do keyword searches for websites using words like BrainSync, S-Y-N-C, or MindSync, or I don't know, there are a whole bunch of them that are out there. HoloSync is another one. HemiSync is another one. There's just a whole boatload of them. And you will find these brain entrainment CDs, binaural, and also there's a guy out that has some that are called Trickdoll, because the CDs stimulate the brain to release the tryptamine compounds, which promote advanced and elevated states of consciousness and awareness. And you listen to these things, they entrain your brain waves, and they move you into higher states of awareness and expanded states of consciousness. So you can get this. And I use these products myself. I know that many thousands of other people do, maybe millions of people. This is one way to open your mind, open your spirit to higher cosmic or universal level, and to resonate with the creative side of the force, if you will, in a harmonious way. An awful lot of us need to be doing this. An awful lot more would be good if an awful lot more of us were doing this. I see that as one way for humans in this present situation to increase or elevate their vibratory level and be catalysts for creative and positive change and beacons, light beacons of hope, if you will, and of, I guess, way showers in this dark time for those who, even at the last minute, will be casting about, flailing about, looking for an exit, a way out of the chaos and the turmoil that is descending. And some of them will make their way to these websites, make their way to individuals who have availed themselves of the CDs on those websites and have elevated their consciousness, even if only a little bit, but enough to differentiate themselves from the mass herd. And then people will come to them, to you, to me, and to others. And that's one of the things that we can be doing feasibly. Even if you only have $50, you can go and get 5 of these CDs, download them as MP3 files, and listen to them while you're sleeping at night or relaxing after you come home from work, if you still have a job.
Now, the only problem with this is that I'm not convinced that there is not some manipulative subliminal information coming through these CDs, subliminal messages and subliminal sounds, and I would just like to insert a note of caution on that.
Well,
before
you can make your own. You can make your own. There are sites where you can make your own.
That I like better.
There's the brainwave generator site. So I've made some of my own tapes there. I think a lot of these places are reputable. I really do. You go to the store and you buy a bag of carrots and you eat that. You don't worry about that too much. I mean, you don't stop eating food. You drink water. You browse sites on the internet, right? You go to my blog and you read
It's a different thing of sending brain waves and left and right brain sync tools. I don't know about that. I like better the idea of making your own.
Well, I will tell you, Patricia, some of these CDs do have subliminals on them, and that's why you use them. I've used a lot of these products over the years. I use some of them now. But if you don't, if that's a concern to you, make your own. There's a site called Brainwave Generator. I think it's BrainGen or something like that, BrainGen.com or something like that. You can... Uh-huh. For $49, you sign up and you make your own.
I like that better, and I'd like to suggest people check that out. And since we have so few minutes left, Richard, let's go through a list of positive steps. First of all, the most positive thing you can do right now is to acknowledge to yourself that you're not in fear, because people get into this mindset of, I don't want to think about it, it's negative thoughts, I want to keep myself in the higher thought patterns and not go there. And I would like to recommend that you don't have to be in fear to be preparing for an eventual crisis. So I'd like to suggest to everyone that's listening that you start to take very positive steps, constructive steps, to create for yourself and your family and your environment, i.e. neighbors, a preparedness plan in the event that it does come down as we're talking about. It'd be nice if this is all wrong. If it's right, what have you got in place so that you can ride out any really difficult emergency or even a short-term emergency or even longer? What are you putting in place for your life to assure that you are in good shape and you could put it to rest? And the list is, I'm going to do this together with Richard. Above all, get your water supplies under. You should really have a minimum of a liter of water a day, minimum, per person in your house, stocked up. Great idea to have that.
If it's hot, 1 liter will be nowhere near enough. If you're living in the desert in southern Arizona during the summer, you may need 2 gallons minimum per person per day of clean drinking water.
Okay, how do you recommend that? Do you have any ideas or suggestions on how people can store water?
Well, of course, in jugs and bottles, or in any kind of container you have that's clean and sanitary. I mean, look around. Use a God-given smarts. I couldn't say it. There are as many ways to store water as there are people. Whatever container you have that will hold the water and not contaminate it And then, of course, you need to make sure it's pure. So have some either water purification devices or water purification tablets. If you don't know anything about it, go on the Internet and do a keyword search on water purification, water filters, water purification tablets, ways to purify water, etc. And there are many, many websites that offer these things, will tell you how to do it. Water is essential. Forget about food. If you don't have clean water to drink, you are going to die.
Yeah, I agree. And I have a bunch of water stored in the house, and it looks a little funny in the living room, but it'll look a lot less funny if we have a crisis. Let's suggest, not even a disaster, let's just suggest that for a week, water isn't being delivered or the water's turned off for a week. Before it comes back on, people will kill each other to get it. So this conversation is kind of taken a kind of survival approach, and I don't mind that one bit. Get your water supplies, start pouring water into sterile jugs, and start building up a supply for yourself of essential things that, given any emergency situation, you can utilize to get through the crisis, the primary crisis.
I will tell you something. In an emergency, if the water goes off, instead of flushing your toilet, don't waste that 5 gallons of water or 10 gallons of water that's in the tank behind your toilet. You can drink there.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are going, ew, but it's so true. Richard, please give us your, it's unbelievably the 55 minutes are gone, and it just seems like a second we've been speaking. Please give us your contact information again so that people can read up on everything you're up to.
My blog site is eventhorizonchronicle.blogspot.com. That's eventhorizonchronicle.blogspot.com. And you can, there are links there on the right-hand side. You can find my books, and I have many blog postings you can read through there, and with many interesting links to explore. So I very much enjoyed it, Patricia. It's hard to believe 55 minutes have gone by so fast.
It really is, Richard. Every time I talk to you, it does. It just flies, because you truly are a kindred spirit, and I love your mind, and I'm proud of you for taking the initiative to getting on with your life outside of the United States. So good for you. I have to say goodbye. I'm sorry about that, but I'll be back in 2 weeks. I don't have my guest lined up yet. So time has gone. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. I'd like to thank my people here in the Azores for tuning in. I'm out of commission for a minute, but I'll be back smoking tomorrow. So thanks, everybody. I appreciate your listening. This is Beyond the Matrix with Patricia Corey, daring you to think outside the box of convention. And never, like now, is it your sovereign right and your sovereign responsibility to make sure you've got your bases covered so that you can help the next one and the one after that. Thank you, my love around you. Nano, signing out.